Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting on Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kuku'itlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen territories of the Stolo, Kuku'itlem, and Katsi First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship of the lands and the waters. My name is Leslie. Oh my god. Last week was too hot. It was too hot. If you have been a long-time listener of Typically Tuesdays, you know that I am quite heat-sensitive, and so last week was not the time. It was a no-go for me. I simply needed to be put into a fridge for a whole week. You know, have a little blankie in there, obviously, but, like, I needed to not be in the realm of existence. I'm very heat sensitive. When there is a heat wave, I lose quite a bit of sleep, as many people also do. When I lose sleep and it's so hot out as well, it actually starts to impact me on a health level. Which is surprising because I don't even take any medication that, like, would make me really heat sensitive or anything like that. I just naturally am susceptible to the elements in a way more than other people. I was not meant, I think, to survive very long. You know, I have a dairy allergy. It's not fun. My mental wellness is not the best, and I am very susceptible to heat. I was not made to last, but like most things, in the way that most things are, you know, I'm trying to make a positive spin on this. Okay, let's get on to today's episode. All right. I'm going to be talking a little bit about some concerns, I guess. And actually, today's episode, I think, is a little bit of an ask of you. And maybe you will have some advice for me. Or maybe, at the very least, we can sit with each other in some mutual shared confusion and discomfort and try to find a way out of this together. I'm talking about music streaming platforms today, and you'll understand why in a little bit. For now, we're going to be listening to some music, and for you, it'll be fun because, new music that you may have not heard before from the likes of, like, Self Care, local punk band, or from, like, Paida and Amy's Project, some overseas idols, you know, they're very fun. But for me, I'm doing something that makes me a little bit cringe, and I'll tell you a little bit more why later. Wow. My brain is really scrambled. Can't form sentences. For now, let's just listen to some music. Here is Devourers with XY, and this is the Fruit Music remix.
I don't wanna compromise to connect. Thank you. This is Bird Note. Many bird species have a distinctive song. But not every individual in the species sings exactly the same way. Usually, there are some features in common, certain patterns and phrases. But birds put their own spin on the species' theme tune. What's more, birds that live near each other sometimes have similar songs. If you visit one field with a few song sparrows, they often sound more like each other than a group of song sparrows living a few miles away. Scientists refer to this pattern as a song neighborhood. It's less like a regional dialect among people that's found over a large area. It's more local than that, like a group of friends copying each other's mannerisms. There may be advantages to birds copying their neighbor's way of singing. Researchers found that in song sparrow populations where birds had similar songs, birds were more likely to survive and hold on to their breeding territories. In other words, if one song is a hit during the breeding season, these sparrows keep singing it. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. Support for Bird Note is provided by Jim and Birta Falconer from Seattle, Washington, and generous listeners around the world.
Oh, I think I pulled something there. I really like that song. So I go kind of hard in my room, like flopping around whenever I listen to it. So I think I've injured myself. Anyways, you're listening to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie, and you just heard Wasta with Moeteka Emo. Before that, you heard Paida and Amuse, their newest collaboration called Space Express. What a banger of a track. I'm going to hard pivot now. I'm just going to hard pivot. Listen, I need your advice. I need your guidance. Kind of. I need to complain a little bit, and then I kind of need your input. Longtime listeners of Typically Tuesdays might know a few things about me. One, heat sensitive. Two, running on an incredibly old computer. Very, very old desktop setup here. Two, don't really listen to a lot of music. Even though I do a community radio program, I don't often enjoy listening to music for fun. But I do use this little known music streaming service called Spotify. And I found out recently, and you might have heard this too, that the Spotify CEO has invested £600 million, European pounds, into military AI. Fourth thing that you might know about me, if you've been a longtime listener of the show, is that I'm pretty anti-imperialism, pretty anti-war, pretty anti-AI as well. I guess that's like six things. And so you might be able to imagine my fear, horror, and disgust when I learned about this news as a paying user of Spotify. Now, I had heard before that this music streaming platform, one, really, really quite garbage at paying musicians in general. Two, learned from other people as well at one point that actually doesn't have very high quality music playback. And then there was also just, you know, like the fact that the algorithm on Spotify, it truly, to put delicately, is a fiery trash can from hell. It's not good. The algorithm on this platform sucks big time. But when I learned about this investment that the CEO was making, I was, it really like shook me to my core. It made my blood run cold, essentially. Because one, what the hell are you talking about? What in the frickin' hell is military AI? That sounds atrocious and disgusting and heinous. But two, oh my God, I'm being complicit in it because I give Spotify money every month. I'm a paying subscriber to Spotify. And so I was like not happy about it, right? So I've been trying to figure out, you know, the best way to go about this. I know for sure one thing. Once, and unfortunately this sounds kind of sad, but once I get a new device, once I am able to get essentially a new computer, I will be saying goodbye to Spotify. And I will not be looking back. I can't keep paying them for this stuff. Unfortunately, the reason why I have to continue to use Spotify is because, again, it, like fact number two or three or something that you know about me is that my computer is super duper old. I've been using it since I was a little baby, And unfortunately, because it's so old, it can't run more than two programs at once when I record the show. It can barely run more than two programs at once when I'm not recording the show. And it is really very, very difficult to get it to run a browser that has more than two tabs open at the same time. If I were to create a set list for Typically Tuesdays that was 30 minutes long and that needed me to, let's say, use a few tabs from Bandcamp, one tab from like SoundCloud, something else from YouTube, that, no joke, would take me probably more than an hour to record. Only 30 minutes of music would take me more than 1 hour to record. That is how slow my computer runs. And so at the moment, I unfortunately have to stick to using Spotify, because on one program, I'm able to create a set list, create like one full playlist that just automatically plays. And I don't have to like pause and like close the tab and open a new tab and stuff like that, and wait for my computer to essentially catch up and boot to it. But I know that once I am able to get my hands on a new device, it's goodbye to Spotify. There's just, unfortunately, in the several years that I have talked about getting a new device, every time I think that I'm ready to finally get my hands on something refurbished, something happens in my life that takes all of my attention, and I'm not able to continue to do any research or to continue to look through the websites of anything. I know what I want already. I just, unfortunately, life. And unfortunately, isn't this just the running theme of trying to make the switch from Spotify to something else? Lots of people have been talking about it. They've been talking about what programs to use to move all your playlists onto a different streaming platform, which streaming platforms pay artists better, and stuff like that. And then you do a little bit of extra digging, and then you find out, of course, that like, oh, the CEO of this particular other streaming platform company also has investments in like War Machines, or this other one is like doing XYZ other horrible thing. Oh, this program that you can actually use to like move your playlists actually was developed by like like a war crimes apologist or something like that. And it's like everywhere you look, everywhere you look is hell. Everywhere you look, something is on fire. But that doesn't mean that we can't try to make slightly more ethical consumption choices. So, amidst of all of this conversation around, you know, how to move off of Spotify, which music streaming platform to use, and how to go about supporting musicians in a more intentional way, and how to move away from mass consumption that is not good for the earth and not good for human lives in an intentional way. A lot of people have been making some pretty good suggestions about music discovery, right? There's NTS Radio. There is an app called Radio Garden. I believe our music director, Connor, actually is quite a fan of Music Garden. And of course, you know, there's like community radio. I see you making that choice right now, you know? Those are great options. There's also like, a lot of people have also suggested, you know, just going to a local thrift shop, independent, I'll say, add in, like it could be an independent thrift shop, and just browsing around the music collection in there, going to your local library, put a pin in that, and checking out the music in there as well. They have physical albums, physical CDs. A lot of people also have been suggesting to buy physical copies of albums directly from the musicians that you want to support. Also using Bandcamp potentially is an okay, it's a slightly better option than using something like Spotify. But a lot of these suggestions have also got me thinking, like, oh my god, we really gotta take it back, actually. Maybe the thing to do is to regress in some ways. I'll talk a little bit more about that after this music break. I'm sorry, I'm using Spotify. I know, this sucks. I'm trying, okay? I'm gonna try to figure it out hopefully by the end of the year. There are a lot of things happening before the end of the year for me, but I'm gonna try to figure it out, okay? Here's a new track by local band Self Care. Love them. This is Loose Ends. Enjoy. To all my friends, I don't think that you know me. You are loose ends. Just admit that you don't need me.
Same way. that you know me. You're all loose ends. Just admit that you don't need me.
This is Bird Note. A bird's bill is perhaps one of nature's most incredible multi-tools. Good for preening feathers, self-defense, scratching, displaying, building a nest, and turning eggs. The bill of each bird species is perfectly adapted to meet the needs of that species, whether it's probing for worms, cracking open seeds, or tearing into fresh meat. And a bird's bill must do things that other animals accomplish with paws or other appendages. In a marsh or wet meadow, you might see a great blue heron impale a fish with its massive spearhead of a bill. Or perhaps you'll spot a mallard using its spatula-like bill to sift tiny animals and plants out of the water. The Wilson snipe uses its long, slender bill to probe the dirt for earthworms, while a peregrine falcon uses its sharp-hooked beak to tear apart its prey. Call it a beak or call it a bill. For each and every bird, it tells a story. Next time you go birding, see what a bird's beak can tell you. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Did you know Bird Note delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox? Sign up for our newsletter at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
Araro by Koolfi Girls off of their debut record Divinity. I have really enjoyed that album. I think I've played it quite a few times already here on the show this year, and I'm gonna keep doing it. Honestly, I think it might be one of my favorite releases of 2025. And if you want to check out more great rock punk music by queer South Asian femmes, go give Divinity a listen, a gander. It's really good. And before that, you heard Sherry Ify with Girls Counterculture. My name is Leslie, and you're tuned into Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. How do we consume music in a more ethical way when music streaming platforms actually are owned by horrible people? And it is really hard to make actually good ethical choices in our consumption of things in capitalism. Well, I'd been mentioning physical albums and physical copies and things like that. And great news, there are a lot of people who are thinking something very similar to me, which is that we have to take a step back. We have to regress to the times of our youths, to the times of our childhoods even. And once again, become kind of loose cannons, if you will, to sail the seven seas, to find buried treasure, if you get my drift. Sailing, finding treasure, having a parrot on our shoulder, and going back to the skills that we learned when we were young to burn music onto CDs and to upload them onto USB players. I'm really grateful to actually have that knowledge. I remember using this very machine that I am recording today's episode of the show to burn CDs, to burn like maybe a 45-minute playlists of DDR music mixtapes, essentially. And you know, there is a type of, I don't want to use the word nostalgia, because I mean, I grew up with this stuff, it's whatever, but there's like this, I feel like this more of a longing and sentiment behind like actually making like a mixtape, right? A playlist, you know, honestly, in my opinion, a playlist is kind of whatever. It doesn't really, for me, it doesn't have the same sentiment as making a mixed tape. Sure, I might have a playlist on my Spotify account that is, for real, nearly a 6 hour long girl group playlist. That doesn't mean that I can't make Miscellaneous Girl Groups volumes 1 through 17 if I had the computer power to do so. And I would be more than happy to do that. And you know, the more that I thought about actually like the golden days, I guess, or the times when like we weren't as heavily reliant on like digital things like this, like streaming platforms and stuff, it made me think back to libraries. You know, libraries are incredible hubs and resources for us to get a lot of great entertainment. I often go to the library and peruse, and you know, I remember when I first started to go back to using local libraries a few years ago, you know, I'd stopped for a bit of time, which is pretty horrible. But when I went back, I was like really quite like excited to see like, oh, they're actually like full Netflix shows that like sell like Blu-ray and DVDs, I guess, and the library has copies of them. Like, that's amazing. And our local libraries still have great albums in their archives and their caches. Of course, one amazing resource that I have personally is the physical music library over at CJSF, which is sprawling and amazing. And we've actually got a new show at the station all about the physical music library. It's called Analog Archives. It airs Thursdays from 6 to 7, and it's hosted by a longtime member of our station, Danny, who now is also our community journalist. It's a great show. I've been tuning in, and it's also on the digital archive on our website if you haven't been able to catch it. I really encourage you to check it out. You know, not everybody gets to be as lucky as me and Danny, who are able to, you know, use that type of, like, sprawling music archive. And, you know, that was actually kind of the answer to this other thing that I had. I was stewing on a little bit with regards to when it's time for me to shut off my Spotify account. Because, listen, this is such a baby thing, okay? But it was something that I was actually stewing on, which is that 6 hour long girl group playlist. That is the only thing that I hold dear on the Spotify account. I've been working on that playlist since like 2000, maybe 18. So it is old. And it is amazing, I have to say. Like, I don't think I'll ever get through the whole thing again in one sitting. The last time I did that was when it was like maybe 2.5 hours long. And it is nearly three times, or it's at least twice as big now. I was thinking to myself, like, how, if I use any of these other music streaming platforms, there's a chance I'm not going to be able to get every single song that's on this playlist. You know, there are these services that you can use to move Spotify playlists onto like Tidal or Apple Music or like YouTube Music and stuff like that. I don't know if I'll be able to get all of these tracks, because people have been using Spotify to like upload their music. If they're like an independent musician, you know, it is kind of the easiest way for people to feel like they're putting their name out there, I guess, when really, guys, you should be using like Bandcamp or something. And then for like big idol groups or girl groups, you know, it's very unlikely that they're going to be using a service like Bandcamp. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to see aespa on there. Oh well, I guess. But I was thinking about that, right? And then I realized what should happen is this. Now, hold me back. I know this is about to, if it gets too much, just sedate me, okay? Throw me into the bog. But this is what I think should happen. I think that there should be an idol music library in Vancouver. I don't know how it's going to work, and I don't think that there's any physical space for it, but I think what it should look like is a network of fans that are dedicated and willing to spend the money to allow for other people to listen to this type of music. And so people join the community, let's say like on a Discord server or something, and there is some kind of system to allow for people to like meet up, lend albums to each other, return them within a period of time. What you do with that album, listen, it's for you in the high seas, okay? But is that for real not like one way to consider how we are able to share our love for this type of music while also actually financially supporting these groups to some extent, you know, depending on how their producers want to pay them, and then also be doing something slightly more ethical than streaming their music on Spotify and destroying the algorithm. Because think about it, a lot of diaspora communities had been doing that already. A lot of underground musicians had been doing that already. That is how people for, you know, many, many decades had been sharing their love of music with one another through community networks, actually. Listen, I know this is just like a huge sprawling dream and it needs a lot of thought and organization and willpower and capacity to actually do, which I am at capacity right now in my life. But I think it would be awesome to actually conspire something like this, where it is like fandom based and it's also truly community based, right? Where we want to be able to support our hobby and continue to doing our hobby of enjoying idols and listening to idol music, and we are able to share that love with other people and at the same time do so in a way that is actually more ethical than just streaming the same song over and over again 52 times, hoping that our favorite musician gets paid, and trying to suppress the thought that the CEO of that streaming platform is investing in military AI. If you want to conspire in that, get in touch. If you have a big library of idol music, get in touch. You can write to me. If you are in a similar dilemma and experiencing similar issues as me, and you want to share those grievances, hey, I'm with you. If you have solutions, okay, and you want to share them too, share them with me, please. Write to me. I am at Typically Tuesdays on Instagram. You can also email me, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Please, this is like the episode for advice. Please write to me. Advice and grievances. I really would look forward to reading your emails and your messages if you have some thoughts to share about this specific issue. Because music is amazing. Even though I don't listen to a lot of it, music is amazing. And there's gotta be a better way for us to support artists and to do so in a mindful and sound way. And with that, I'm gonna end today's episode of Typically Tuesdays. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know this episode was a little bit of a dark one. Most episodes of Typically Tuesdays are, but I hope in the same way that I try to with every episode of Typically Tuesdays, offer a glimmer of hope in there as well, an alternative way to consider the situation, how to move about it. Our final track today comes from the newest album by Empty Nesters. This album is called Deaf Monks, and it features another favorite over here at CJSF, Ribbon Skirt. Here is On Read. I hope you enjoy it. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'll talk to you very soon.